My name is Nicholas Redmond, and I have a farm in Ballygarrett, County Wexford. It's a mixed farm. We have Dexter cows, we have sheep, donkeys, a bit of poultry, and we have quite a lot of forestry. Maybe about 30% of the farm is mixed forest. Part of the farm is in Ardamyne, which is about six miles away from here. And that was actually purchased by my parents. They were both school teachers. My father is deceased, my mother's still alive. And there's about 4 acres there, which I'm also farming. And then this is the home farm here at Gerry, which I think is actually a corruption of Irish for Gary, which is garden, because it's got a lot of sand in the soil here. So it's actually really fertile compared to the local Macamore, which is kind of a heavy, very, very extremely heavy clay ground. We're here in Gerry, our family, several hundred years. How maybe back to the 16, 1700s. When I came here, it was just normal, a normal mixed farm. We had a bit of dairy at that time. I immediately changed it to organic and then began a very extensive planting regime on the farm all around the hedges. In fact, there was very little trees here originally. Yeah. You see, my dad, he was a teacher, but he was extremely interested in nature, particularly in birds and animals. And my mother is a very keen gardener and still is, actually. And when they took over, you see, they bought a small wood, and then there was 4 acres, and he started making hay on that every year, you know, just to keep his farming instincts going. And then when I took over, I kept that going. So we've been taking hay off that plot for about 35 years now. So it's become an extremely biodiversity rich flowering grass meadow, traditional hay meadows. You know, for the first time last year, I had the Wexford Nature Group, and we found orchids there. The main species would be plantain. There's a lot of yellow rattle, you know, which is very important for flower meadows, because the yellow rattle actually parasitizes grasses, which actually causes them to grow less vigorously, which then allows other species then to come into the field. Of special interest, well, it was a upright brome grass, which is not rare, but it's not that common. And the other thing, adder's tongue fern, which is not totally rare, but it's not common either. I only have the Dexters for about, what have we got them, about 5 years now. I had a period there where we had no cows here. And before that, then I had Shorthorns. But I felt we should get back into cattle, because they're very, very useful, you know, for managing the land. They have a particular, well, they're really nice to begin with, but they graze in a certain way. I can see they've made a big difference on the grassland since I got them. You know, you can see a lot more species actually starting to arrive in the grassland. My approach here has been trying to introduce, to create an ecosystem where every animal has its place in the whole. Yeah? So the cattle and sheep go very well together, because both, they graze a little bit differently. When you graze cattle and sheep, then it tends to reduce parasites in the ground, which affects both. Well, particularly the sheep. But it's also a question of numbers. I mean, I would have a very low stocking rate. And that's for me, that's kind of, if you're going nature, the low stocking rate really makes everything easy. If you're going high stocking rate and intensive, I would say it can be difficult. I would have been originally in the Biodynamic Association, and central to biodynamics would be the cow. The cow is the ultimate digestion machine in a sort of way. So basically when they eat, then they stuff pass through them, comes back onto land, but that would be very rich in microbes, which then actually impregnates the ground. That's my opinion anyway, from what I see. Since I've got the cows, things, the biodiversity seems to be getting better, not less, you know? Basically, my purpose here on this farm is to bring nature to its fullest potential. And that means making it as biodiverse as possible. And that involves having animals on the farm. And lots of trees, lots of flowers, creating a rich biodiversity full of life. Lots of bird song every day, yeah? I mean, it's mind-blowing here, the bird song in the morning. For me, in essence, it's like to make a beautiful place of the farm. That's really the essence, isn't it? Somewhere you can really live and enjoy yourself and enjoy the nature that surrounds us, you know? It's free. Yeah, in essence, it's just to create havens for wildlife everywhere you can, yeah? I mean, I remember, for instance, just simple things like when I was maybe 30 years ago, when you turn on the lights at night, the amount of insects that used to come to the lights was amazing, and all the different species, and you see none of that anymore. I haven't seen a lacewing in years. I have a lot of ponds, which I'm reclaiming at the minute. You know, a lot of them were overgrown, so we were cutting them back to expose them again and allow a lot of pond life. You know, this area would have been traditionally very rich in ponds because they used to extract the marl, one to make buildings and the other they used to burn it, you know, for lime. So there was an awful lot in the Macklemore, or it's cleared an awful lot of ponds, and most people have filled them in. We're lucky we actually have a lot of them left. There's one pond now, a new one that we built, that we dug across the road, and it's full of different types of plants. Then you get all the insects, then you get the frogs. Now, I have been breeding frogs here for a long time anyway, collecting frog spawn, then I put them in my pond and I feed them, and then I've been introducing them to the other ponds. So they're increasing every year now, which is great, because frogs were a very, very common feature on farms in the past. I remember, you know, as a kid, we used to go out when my uncle had the farm, and we'd be going out rolling the bales, and there'd always be frogs and newts and stuff under the bales. And it's not something you see nowadays. Ponds are very important, yeah, because we actually have damselflies now in one of the ponds, and we have a lot of dragonflies. But it's great, you know. You can kind of sit and look at a pond all day, actually. There's always something interesting there. Farmers have been led in a certain direction, and that's a societal thing. It was all about production, you know, science, and you can produce more, so you make more. And that has its merits to a degree, but I would see that as a kind of a dead end in the long term, yeah? The cost of that has been nature and the biodiversity. And, I mean, Ireland is in a biodiversity crisis. I mean, anyone should be able to see that. As a friend of mine, he calls it the green desert. It's all green, but there's nothing in it. I mean, start small and work up and see how you get on. There's always little spots that you can put aside for nature. You don't have to utilize everything. I see a lot of farmers are just working for co-ops and the meat factories. And farmers do enormous amount of work. I mean, their hours are like crazy, yeah? But they're kind of like, it's kind of been, in a way, being a slave to a system, which isn't really rewarding you in one way. Okay, some guys are very, very successful, yeah. But most guys are, you know, they're just about hanging in there, really, you know. all the subsidies go to promote the conventional system. There's very, very little coming back to farms like this. Okay, I'm in the gloss, but I mean, it's not very much money really at the end of the day. So, I mean, in order to tempt commercial guys, you have to reward farmers for looking after the countryside. It's as simple as that. And if it means higher prices for food, fine. Food is too cheap anyway. And government subsidies need to be redirected to actually promoting biodiversity and not just lip service, which I find it's mostly lip service. Because in reality, very little's happening on the ground, except with a few exceptions, the Burn Project and the Harrier Project and the Grouse Project and a few things like that, which have been very successful. And you see, it can easily happen if the money is put in there. Because even ordinary farmers, most farmers are interested in the countryside, but they're caught in this commercial treadmill. Impossible to step out of it. There's no incentive, governmental incentive to enable guys to step out of that. And that's what has to change. People just have to take the plunge, and government really have to get off their backsides and really, instead of just talking about biodiversity, actually put some money into it. Because if the money comes, the guys, farmers will change. People have to live at the end of the day, you know. I try to keep machinery input to the absolute minimum here. All inputs are minimum. I haven't ever spread fertilizer, and everything seems to be thriving.